Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, there comes a time, as we listen to this song, there comes a time when you look around us and whatever's going on, there's nothing else that matters except being in His presence. Each one of us had a time where that's all we needed. And that should never change. We cannot face our days without coming before Him. And just as this song says, not to go expecting blessings. Well, what bigger blessing could we have than to be in His presence? To let His Spirit just move within us and know that all is well. Even when things that our eyes see and our ears hear doesn't seem that way. But when you're in His presence, all is well. Your families are taken care of. Our church is taken care of. And nothing can come against you because He is for us. So I pray for each one of you that you've rested in this. And just know that this will never change for you, regardless of what your eyes see and what your ears hear. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us to this place.
Hallelujah. Oh, if you love the Lord, just raise your hands to Him. Say this to Him, Lord, I welcome You today. I welcome You, Holy Spirit. We welcome You, Lord. We welcome You, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank You for who You are, Father. We thank You for what You're doing in our lives, Father. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your leading, Your guiding, Your directing. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah for all that You do for us, God. We thank You for it. And therefore, we worship You because there's none else to be worshiped. None else, Father God, can do the things that You do, Father. None else, Lord. We worship You, Lord God. We praise Your name this morning, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Your name, Lord. Glory to Your name, Lord. Glory to Your name, Jesus. Glory to Your name, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We worship You, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Nothing else.
Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. You know, you can never leave His presence. Do you know that? Praise God. Hallelujah. You can be seated, those of you that want to be seated. Hallelujah. Come on, man. We still have opportunity for you. If you got something you want to say, if you feel like the Lord is saying, we're still open for that. This house is open for you to speak to one another. So I just want you to know that. Glory to God. Bram Batista. How many know that today is Pentecost Sunday? Hallelujah. Did you know that? Amen. Do you know what happened on the day of Pentecost? Hallelujah. Praise God, man. I'm excited about what God is saying and what He's doing. Hallelujah. But I got a little bit of something that they call one of those, I guess, what's it, sweet and bitter or whatever things to do. Come on off here, Pat. Pastor John and Pastor Pat, can we call you up here? Just hallelujah. Praise God. Can I get a mic? Yeah. Pastor Pat has a little bit of announcement that he wants to make, and we're gonna allow him to speak to you just for a sec, for a few minutes. Yeah. Just for one second. That's it, man. No, come on, man.
Well, howdy.
Howdy.
Good morning, man. It's great to be back.
Amen.
Mm, yeah. Praise God.
It's nice talking up here, seeing faces in the seats, I tell you. During the 2 month sabbatical we had, did God speak to you about things? I mean, we had some quiet time to hear God's direction in our life. Well, Carrie and I heard some direction that we are going to follow, and we are stepping out into a ministry that it's been a part of our lives for a long time, but it's something that's going to take a lot of my time, and I have stepped down as my position here, and I'm going to pursue the things that God's laid on my heart. Carrie and I both, she would have been here today, she's preparing for a surgery, so God is good, and I want you to know that there's so many of you that I've developed. I can't turn around and look at that guy. I'll start crying. I've developed close relationships with a lot of you, and you know, this is just the beginning. I mean, we're still going to be here. This is our home. We're reaching out to the community. Like I said, it's going to take a lot more time than I thought it would. And so in all fairness to Pastor Henry, Pastor John, I stepped down in order to make room for whatever God wants to do here. But we are going to accomplish great things. This is the beginning of something great, not only in my life, but your life too. Whatever it is God's been speaking to you about, do it. You know, I know I make a statement a lot of time that life is short, but I get corrected on that a lot. But to verify what I'm saying is, the moment for you to do the thing that God's asking you to do is short. The moment that God asks you to do something, that's when the anointing is there to do it. God gave me one verse of scripture that set all this in motion. And he basically told me, Pat, you'll know when you go. I mean, it was a release for us to go after these things. So I just want you to know how much Carrie and I love you all, and appreciate everything that Pastor John, Pastor Henry, all of you guys have done in our lives, spoken to our lives, encouraged us. And like I say, the journey is just continuing. The journey's the same. We're going to win that town out there for Jesus Christ. He is coming back soon. So whatever it is you feel inspired to do, do it. Now, if it's now, do it. If God's asking you to get involved with the church more, do it. Today is the day of salvation. So I encourage you, walk in the things that God is showing you to do and do it. Because you won't know until you go all what to do. Don't think you have to know all what to do before you do it. God will show you as you step out. Doors will open. Doors will shut. Whatever the case may be. Anyways, I love you guys. And who knows, maybe Steve and I will make a song together here in the near future. There's a lot of things that God's shown us that we were going to do. We're still doing it. This is just part of the way that God's chosen to do it. Love you all.
Praise God. Stay there, man.
You want to say? Yeah, come on, man.
Pat, I just want to start off by saying that there's no way in the world that we could spend almost 5 years and not have our spirits join and and love each other and care about what happens. And I think for all of us that are sitting here, when you minister with somebody, they take a little piece of your heart when they leave. You know, I think we've all been in different churches, and there's somebody always gets that little piece of your heart. And so, you know, Pat, I just want to bless the time that I've had with you and what's coming. And I want to thank you for this guy is an encourager. I can't hardly think of a time that I had to preach or that I had something to do that I wouldn't get a little note or I wouldn't get him to pray for me. So you've got a heart of an encourager, and I know that as you go on your new venture, that that's part of what's going to come through, encouraging people and letting them know that there is something else than where they're at. And I bless that in you. It comes so easy from you to be able to do those things.
Praise
so,
God. Amen.
Thank you for your friendship. Carrie, also, you know, thank you that you both came here. And like I say, you're not leaving us, but I know that, you know, we always get this thing about God's doing something new. And be prepared this year. God is doing something
Amen.
New.
God.
You don't
That's
know
right.
what's coming up. And today is a good day to let that flow. As Pat says, if he's told you to do it, do it.
Come on, man.
And so don't sit on your pew chair and wait to see what God says next. He's telling you something today.
Amen. So, praise God. I was watching. I know when Pastor Pat first came to the church, he came into my, asked me if he could meet me in his office, in my office, not his office, my office, your office, whatever. And anyway, so we met in his office, in my office, and he says, well, you know, I've decided I want to try to start coming to this church. And I said, great. He had a little guy that was with him. What was the name of that little guy?
Henry.
His cane was named Henry, and it was an easy name for me to remember. So, you know, and when I'd see him, it wasn't very long that Henry wasn't coming to church with Pat anymore, was he?
No, he wasn't.
He was stuffed in the car somewhere, wasn't he? Yeah. And I watched God do a really great thing in my brother. My brother has had injuries, right, in the forestry service, working in the forest, and he's had injuries, and the Lord has been healing, not only him, but his wife also. Watched all these things happening, and I believe that God has more and more healing for him. There is a disclosure of his healing coming on in the year that is incredible, and especially when a man of God makes a decision to step out where God is telling him to go, it is something that God does. He will strengthen that man. Is that right? Come on. I mean, can I just say that anytime you obey God, God will strengthen you for that journey. Is that right?
Right?
He strengthens you for the journey. Okay. All you got to do is obey. Today is the day to obey. And this is what Pastor Pat is doing. He's obeyed God to step down and from the associate pastor here at the church. And you know what? Can I just say this to you? We're here to help people find their ministries. Is that okay?
Amen.
Is that right? That's why we're here. We want you to find what God has for you. And the way he's going to show you is by his Holy Spirit. There's no other way. So just know that. And what Pat is stepping into is something that God, that he feels that God has called into his life. I know that, Pat, I know the Word of God just says this, that the calling of God is without repentance. So whatever that is, that was, that God placed in your heart way back when, that you saw when a church pastor, or was it the city? I don't know, but they called all these churches together to come and see the sinner that got saved. Is that cool? And all these churches came to see you. So some God might have dropped a jewel in your heart saying, this is absolutely very possible that the body of Christ can come together. Amen? And so I believe that wholeheartedly. I'm with you. And I do believe that the calling of God is without repentance. What he's placed on you, he's been nurturing it and he's been building it. And it's time for to begin to show its fruit. Is that okay?
It is.
So we're going to pray for you. And if you would, if you'd like, I'd like everybody to stand. This is our pastor. Everybody stand and stretch your hand over towards Pat and believe God with us that God's going to do great and mighty things through this man in his ministry that God has called him into. Father, I just thank you for your word. We thank you this morning, God. We thank you for Pat and Carrie, Lord, and all that they've done and all the encouragement they brought. And Father God, we know that there's more. There's always more because it's not them, it's you in them, God. So Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we speak to Pat and Jesus, be encouraged in what God has for you to do. Yes, we send you out with love and compassion. We send you out with the joy of the Lord. He is your strength. He is your redeemer. He is everything. So we send you out. We bless you. We bless you. And we bless you again. In the name of Jesus Christ, whom we served, whom we bow our knees before, we bless you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God, man. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. One more thing I want to share, Pastor Henry brought up. The name of our ministry is Jericho Ministries, and it represents where walls come down. This is, and I just want to leave this illustration with you to understand that God's doing this in your life too. When I went back home the first time as a new believer, just a couple of weeks old in the Lord, I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know a born again man. I didn't know anything. But my stepmom, who was praying for me the night that I got saved in an Assembly of God church gathering with a bunch of women, I got saved that night. She called me up the next morning. She's from South America. She's about that tall, you know. She goes, Patrick, you are kind of coming home. She, God told me last night, you got saved. And I go, click. I hung up the phone. I did. I mean, I wasn't, no, I ain't going down there. I'm not talking in front of people. I'm not doing this. After about four phone calls, I said, okay, I love you, but I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. And about a day went by, and then God just, I didn't know what this was going on in my heart. He goes, you're going to go home. You're going to talk. You're going to share your testimony at that church. It was a brand new little facility, only held about 150 people max. When I got there, it was standing room only. I mean, denominations came from all over the county. Churches that didn't like each other, didn't do anything with each other. They came to see a miracle. My stepmom had this put on K-Love on the radio down there. I heard it driving back home, and I about passed out in the car going, oh, no. Walls come down, and a bunch of I shared my testimony. I mean, cops were there that used to arrest me. School teachers, Boy Scout leaders, guys from school that I played sports with, they came to see a miracle. God is no respecter of persons. He's not. And he's not sorry that he blessed you with the gifts he did. Preparation time is not wasted time. And the journey does validate the arrival. We are stepping out into what we're doing because of the preparation time that we have been doing, walking with the Lord all these years. This is an extension of what we had been doing in years gone by. So God wants to do the same thing in your life too. Allow him. The whole vision of this ministry is to see walls come down in people's lives, in family lives, in churches, in towns. So be praying for us as we go, and think about this illustration for your own life. God wants walls to come down in your life. When those guys took us out, all my friends I grew up with, musicians, and they took us out to the beach afterwards that night and said, Pat, you're not going to understand this now, but walls came down in your life and in this town, and people came together for one common purpose, unity in the body, to see what Jesus Christ would do and did. So in this church, it's going to happen. There's going to be people coming in here from other places that have been hurt. This is a hospital. This was a hospital for us. We got healed physically, spiritually. God is raising up people and sending them out. So understand, there's a Jericho situation in your life somewhere that God wants to bring these walls down and allow his grace to come in and change things in your family, in your church, whatever it might be. Be blessed, and love the Lord with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, and have fun.
And have fun. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, take it back. God bless you, man. Praise God. Well, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Pat. Thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us, man. And I, you know, like he said, he's not going to be gone. He'll still be around to minister to those that, you know, you just can't disconnect, like, you know what I'm saying? Praise God. We'll give it to him a bit. Thank you. Praise God. Let me just say this to you. I want to just share something that God gave me for this, because I know there's been a lot of folks, and believe it or not, I've had a few folks call me and tell me that they didn't believe that they needed to be at a church that was full of fear. And so I go, well, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way. You know how, can I tell you that you can't change people's minds? Is that right? It's hard. That's not what I'm in the business of. I am in the business of inspiring you so that the Holy Spirit might change your mind. And if folks want to say that myself or the leadership in this church is full of fear because of not opening our doors or anything, it's okay. I'm okay with it. I love the body of Christ. I love the people of God. I love God's folks. And so, you know, it's okay. I understand. But I just want to read this thing just so you can see. This is where I stand. This is where I believe that when this started happening, I was actually in California and the Lord gave me this word. And I believe that it's just been with us through this time. So, and this is the word. The Bible is actually a very good place to find things. I mean, anybody agree with that? It's actually a good place to find out about life. How many of you agree with that? Anybody in the house agree with that? Come on, man. Yeah, I see a hand over there. I get one hand. Come on. I'll tell you what. The Word of God is instruction for life. For life. I like to say it that way. It's instruction for life. For life. For all life. Amen. Hallelujah. We had a mention this morning that life is short. Oh, no. The life is long. It is eternal life that you're in. Amen. Come on. So, but just here's where this church stands. Okay. Just, this is where our leadership, I believe we're all in agreement with this. And it's 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 11. And we're going to finish at verse 17. It says this: "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." That's not really part of what I wanted to say, but I do want to say that. Praise God. Do you hear what it's saying? Abstain from fleshly lusts, guys. All right? Which war against the soul. Okay, but here's the part. It says, having conversation honest among the Gentiles. How many know it's important that we have the way we live our lives should be honest before those that don't believe in God? Before those that don't care about God, before those that don't even want to know about God, we should live an honest life before them. And it says that, whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, this city has probably seen some good works, because I know, I talk to a lot of police officers outside, and they say, man, this place used to be a place where we were called almost three times a week. Do you know that? And then you go, and we haven't had any calls since you got in here. I said, praise God, man. That's good. So can I tell you that the world does notice? Amen? They do see. Which, they, you know, they beholding a good work, okay? Verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. This is where I believe what the Lord was saying for the leadership of this house. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or the president, or to governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Do you understand what he's saying? As free. Yeah, we're free. And we don't have to be going around telling, well, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do this. We're free. That's a cloak of maliciousness. We should be loving. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Verse 17 says, honor all men. Honor all men. That's why we will wear a mask in here, so we can honor folks that maybe they don't want to, maybe they want you know, they want to wear a mask, and they're worried about people that aren't wearing a mask. So we'll wear a mask. I'm more than 6 feet away from you, so I think I'm good. Amen. Come on, hallelujah. I was telling this family here, I said, be careful, because this is like Shamu and what they call it, SeaWorld. This is the wet zone. You know, you might get wet. No. Praise God. Yeah. So, but it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. And then he says, once again, honor the king. So we will honor our government. I believe that. I don't believe they've asked the harsh thing of us to, you know, and to practice these things of safety, which, like Pastor John's always saying, hey, we should be doing it anyway. We should be washing our hands. How many of you learn how to wash your hands? This, just kidding. I don't mean that. Praise God, man. But I just wanted to say that, because this is the position of the church, of this house. We believe that we should honor those leaders that are above us. And now if they're telling us, hey, man, you know, do something that is very opposite of the sinful in the eyes of God, now we're talking a whole different story. Amen. But in what they've asked, this is the position of this house. And I want to just say thank God for our government. Amen. Thank God for them. They are in a position that hey, we as a body of Christ, we need to be praying for them. We need to lift them up daily. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. I mean, can I get a better amen than that? Amen. Come on, man. We need to lift them up, man. Amen. Praise God. But today, hallelujah, today is Pentecost Sunday. And I'm so, man, I get fired up on Pentecost Sunday. It seems like every year, because it used to be Pastor John and Pastor Pat would preach on the beginning of the month. And I said, Lord, don't let it land on the beginning of the month. Because I love Pentecost Sunday. I love the Holy Ghost. I love what he does for us. I love him. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, the title of our message is what, Abe? I got it wrong this morning. The title of the message, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. How many of you welcome this Holy Ghost? How many of you welcome him in your house? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, ask him this. Do you welcome him? Do you welcome him? Is he a welcome person in your life? Is he welcome in your house? Can I tell you, it's important to me that my house is filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? I mean, every room I go in, man, I go, oh yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Every room, whatever. Just built a brand new bathroom.
Yeah.
I got it. We just finished it in my house. took quite a while. My brother-in-law, Dennis, man, he helped me so good, man. But I just finished that. And I go in there and I'm looking around and I said, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I feel the Holy Spirit in there. Amen. I've had people come over to my house that are Christians and say, you know what? When we came in, we feel the peace of God in this house. Yeah, come on, man. That's what I want. Because the Holy Spirit is welcome. He's welcome. Lord, have your way. Do what you want, Lord, in my house. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, in the Jewish culture, this is called the Feast of Weeks. This day is, today is. Did you know that? It's the Feast of Weeks. They're celebrating the time when Moses received the five books. They call it the Torah, but the five books of the Bible is when Israel left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan, the first month. They left Egypt. And somewhere around 45 to 50 days afterwards, they ended up in front of Mount Sinai. And the Word of God says, you know, I was trying to figure this out in the calendar. Let me see if I got my figurings here somewhere. And I'm kind of looking around in the scriptures because I still haven't found all the days. But let me go through this with you just real quick. It says Nisan is the month Aviv in a Tanakh. That's the Jewish calendar. But it says, on the 15th day of the month, this month has 30 days. They arrived on Sinai on the first day of the third month, which is called Sivan. The second month is Ayar, or Ziv, in the Tanakh. And it has 29 days. So first month is 15 days. I mean, first month is 30 days, but they left on the 15th of the day of the month. They right after Passover, the next morning they got up and they moved out. Praise God. Amen. They're released out of Egypt. Took them 45 days to get to the wilderness of Sinai, right in front of the mountain. So you got 15 days plus 29 days, but it says on the first day of the month of the third month, that's when they got there. So that right there is 45 days. Somewhere in there's a day or two that I'm not catching on to. I haven't found it yet. Terry, did you find anything? No. And we're looking at, but somewhere in there, but God does tell them, he tells Moses, tell the children of Israel that in 3 days, I will meet with them on the mountain. Is that cool? So there's 48 days that we know of, for sure. 48 days. So somewhere I'm missing 2 days. They've got to be in there. They have to be in there somewhere. Maybe there was 1 day of preparation before they actually got for them to settle in, and I don't know. I don't know. I just haven't been able to, but somewhere it's around 50 days where God came down on Sinai. The Jews call it the Feast of Weeks. And is this feast that when we look at the story about Pentecost, this was a feast that the Jews were involved in when the Spirit came from heaven. And that's why there were so many men that were of all different nations and everything in the city, because they were there for the Feast of Weeks. It's very cool. And it's the neatest thing that I see. When the people of God stood before this mountain, you guys remember the story, the mountain was shaking, it was an earthquaking, and it was on fire, and there was dark clouds around it, and there was a loud sound of a trumpet blowing. And if you can picture this in your mind, the people of God, they're around this mountain, and they step back from the mountain, and they tell Moses something, and it's so incredible to me what they say to him. They said, look, don't let him talk to us. You talk to us. We want you to talk to us. We want you to help us, but don't let him talk to us. They were afraid of what God was saying to them. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. So I want to take you into the Pentecost. Let's read this. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to start in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 49 through 53. We'll read this. Hallelujah. Behold, this is Jesus speaking. He's been resurrected, and now he's visiting the apostles, and he says this, and notice that it is right after Passover. Passover just happened. The Passover lamb was slain. Praise God. And now Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Everybody say power. 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 Endued with what? Power. Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit brings power into your life? It brings the power of who? Of the Most High God. And that's an incredible statement when you just think about it. We as individuals can have the power of God operating in our life. Isn't that cool? And he says, I send the promise. How many like promises? Amen. And does anybody like promises? Hallelujah. Do you like promises?
Yes.
Do you like them to be kept?
Yes.
How many of you know that God makes a promise, he's going to keep it? Is that right? Well, I had Brother Steve tell me, he said something, you know, God is true to his word. I said, yeah, praise God. He said, if he says the sky is pink, guess what? It's pink. And you know, and that's just, I've thought about that all week, Steve. I don't know why I couldn't, but you're right. Whatever God says, that's true. Amen. Huh. Glory to God. So I love promises. And he says this, tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's called the ascension. Amen? When Jesus, when they actually watched him go up and be taken up into the clouds. Isn't that cool? The heavenly Uber. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. He didn't need Elijah's chariot. He just said, man, see you later, fellas, and I'm gone. How many know that? Can I tell you, if you believe this, if you'll believe this, this is what's in store for you. Amen. Say, hey, man, you know what? Amen. Come on, man, we're ready. Amen. Let's get out. Amen? Come on. It's when he says, when God says it, I believe, I'm just foolish enough to believe, God, that all of you, all of us, everyone in the house, we're going to be here together. Come on. Really? Yeah, really? Really, really. Come on. Okay, well, we'll leave that alone. Praise God. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. How many love the Word of God? Man, God got so much in this Word for us. And starting at verse 1, it says, this is the same writer, it was Luke. It says, the former trees that I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up, after that he, through what? The Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It was very important that Jesus spoke to his apostles things pertaining to what? The kingdom. It's the kingdom of God that we need to be focused on. Can I tell you? Is that okay? Is it okay if I tell you this? Yes. That the kingdom of God should be your first focus. Amen. God, what do you want to do? What is it that you're doing, Father God? How can I make an impact today, Father God? Because I am in your kingdom and I know it. So, Father, what is it that you would have me to do today? Hallelujah. It could be just to spend time with him. Amen? Hallelujah. And I do believe that God has called us into his presence. That's why we just went through what we went through. Because God is calling each and every one of us into his presence. Next week, we're going to be taking testimonies from all of you. Is that right? Anybody wants to have a testimony, wants to speak? We might be here till 5 o'clock next week for people, man, giving testimony of what God has done for them during this time. And I want you to know that I believe that God has actually strengthened you a little bit. Would you say amen to that? Yes. Has he strengthened you a little bit through this? Have you learned to lean on him a little more than what you were before? Have you learned to do that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. I believe that's what God was doing in the first place. Hallelujah. Speaking of the things that pertain to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. I like the word he says here. Luke says he didn't give them a suggestion. Amen. What does it say he did? He commanded them. He said he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And he said, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own. And I want you to notice the word power. He says, God has placed the kingdom, the seasons, in his own what? Who is the Holy Ghost? The power, the Holy Spirit is the power of God that's in the earth today. And God says he's placed it upon this power. Go home and study that. Take a look at it because it's a good thing to study. It really is. What is he talking about here? He's put it in the power. What power is he talking about? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, folks, I will tell you today, God is saying this. He has a work to do in your life, and you need to allow him to do that work. Is he welcome in your house to do the work? Come on, man. I'm preaching to you. I'm speaking to you. Is he welcome to do that work that he wants to do in you? Or are you so busy, so tied up with everything around you, everybody around you, that you cannot do what he wants you to do because you're too busy? Come on, man. Hallelujah. God is talking. God is saying something here. Hallelujah. Whew, man, I felt that. Hallelujah. God, I'll tell you what, I'm glad my bathroom's done. Praise God. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Amen. The heavenly Uber. Yeah. It says, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said to him, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? Odd question to me, because I look towards, you know, I will lift up my eyes under the hills and, you know, which from whence comes my help. I gaze up into heaven quite a bit. How many of you like gazing into heaven? How many like looking at the stars at night? How many like looking at the stars and talking to God at night, man? Hallelujah. And I like it. And here's these two angels. Why are you gazing? Why are you looking? He says, this same Jesus, which is taken up unto you from you into heaven, shall so come in the manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. These folks were praying. They were seeking. They were doing what they had been commanded by God. Do not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power. They were doing what they, and they were waiting. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And I was reading in the Passion Translation, and it says that there was actually a pillar of fire. This is what it says in the TPT. I don't know. But it says there was a pillar of fire. And that pillar of fire broke off into these flames like tongues, and it landed on all of them. And it says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to notice that the Word of God says that they were all filled and that they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Amen. It's not as they gave utterance, but it's as the Spirit gave utterance. Hallelujah. And then it says that, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, devoted men out of every nation under heaven. And this is why I was telling you this morning that this was the Feast of Weeks. So there was people in Jerusalem that were celebrating this feast. It says, now when this was noised about, the multitude came together and were confounded that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? That would be crazy, wouldn't it? That these gentlemen were out in the streets speaking in tongues, and everybody around them that was hearing them were hearing a language. They were hearing even their own language. And that to me, I said, man, that's cool. God displaying something that the Holy Spirit had now come to dwell inside of man. Ain't that good? How many of you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? How many of you are baptized in the Holy Ghost? Amen. Raise your hands, you're baptized. Can I just say this to you? That is the most important gift that God can give you through his Son. Amen. Make sure you understand that it comes through the Son of God, amen? Hallelujah. Because it is the Spirit of Christ within you. And that's good, man. Hallelujah. So know that. So like, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia, in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Perga Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They are all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Can I tell you, there's always going to be mockers. Can I say that to you? There's always going to be somebody that will mock you or say something to you or whatever. My next door neighbor, he's a good Baptist guy. And he mentioned to me one day, he says, hey, I can hear you out there. I said, hey, man, I said, bro, John, I hope it doesn't bother you. He said, oh, no. He goes, I just don't believe that way. And I said, okay. I said, well, if you let me know if it bothers you. And he goes, oh, no, go ahead. All right. Gloria boshandalaka. I walked away. Come on. But I love walking in, around my yard praying in tongues.
Come on,
I will pray in tongues. You know, the Word of God says that Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Isn't that right? I will tell you something. Praying in the Spirit really does build you up. It really does. I was telling the team this morning, I said, look, praying in tongues, your mind, your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, doesn't get it. But I will tell you, your spirit gets it. It is being spoken to by the Holy Ghost, and your spirit is being spoken to and strengthened, and you don't even have any idea about it. Isn't that cool? That is so, I mean, that's amazing to me. That is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. That's why it is so, such, if you will, a wonderful gift. It is a wonderful gift. It's Him Himself dwelling within you. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Oh, man, I don't even know where I'm at now. I got lost. There will always be mockers. Yeah, here we go. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Can I tell you it's okay if you speak in tongues in Safeway? Can I tell you that? Come on, man. Can I tell you it's okay if you speak in tongues in here? Come on now, come on. Yeah, I think I've heard three of you talking tongues here before. You're filled with a gift, use it. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing that it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Amen? Here's what he said. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Amen?
Amen.
I got to say amen to these things, man.
Amen.
I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Amen? Praise God.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
I love it that God pours out upon all flesh. Amen? Let me just say this to you. God wants to use you to pour out. Is that right? Hold your place here because I need to look at, it's going to be John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. Can you put that up and then get me back to this, okay? John 7, 38 and 39 says, he that believeth on me, is that what it says? He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, it says, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. And then verse 39 kind of explains it because right now we're talking, Jesus is talking and the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. And he says this, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Can I say that to you? Anybody that believes in him, you need to receive this. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says, which they should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. I like Brother Jason. Sometimes he'll tell me something. Yeah, the Honda Hamahine come out of me one day. Is that right? He'll say something will happen to him. He goes, the Honda Hamahine come out, man. I said, yeah, come on, man. It is the Spirit praying. Hallelujah. And it's needed by the church. Can I tell you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you're praying in the Spirit, like I said before, the Lord will be building up your spirit. And then you will hear things that you hadn't heard before. You'll see things you hadn't seen before. I was walking around this house because God had told me we weren't in it. It was boarded up. And I was walking around it and praying. And there was a guy that came in, asked me, is this closed? I said, hey, yeah, it's been closed for a few months now. He goes, oh, okay. I was hoping to get a pizza because they used to sell pizza in there. I said, yeah, it's closed. And he turned around right there in the parking lot and went out. And I was standing right out front. And I was looking at the house, and the Lord said, prophesy to the building. I said, what? He told me, you prophesy to the building. See, I didn't know that I had something to prophesy. Can I tell you that? A lot of times you don't even know you got something to prophesy. But the Holy Spirit will say, you know what? I want you to speak. I'm standing out here, hadn't even met the owner yet. And the Lord said, open your mouth and prophesy. And I said, okay. And I said, I don't know what to speak. And all this out of my mouth came these words. Open up, O ye gates. Open up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. This is boarded up. He says, open up. And the King of glory will come in. And then he said this, and this is about you guys. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, carrying living water into every place of the city. That is prophesying. I tell you, I got so excited. I didn't think I might, because I was doing seven laps a day around the church praying, God, do what you want to do, God. God, do what you want to do, God. Amen. I know you want to do something here, God. You wouldn't have told us about it. I'm walking around this thing. All of a sudden, I don't know how many laps I did, but I was going around this house. I was prophesying to every door. That's why I remember it so good. Open up, you gates. Open up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Can I tell you, the King of glory is in this house? Amen. He's in you, and he's in this house. Hallelujah. We were here probably, I don't know, we had moved out of the bar area because we had kind of exploded pretty cool, and we were in this area, and I was preaching on that end of the building. And while I was preaching, there came this sound of a rushing mighty wind. And it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was like something banging around. What in the world is going on? And I don't know, some folks, were you guys here that day? Yeah. And we were coming in through this door. These doors were still boarded up. We were coming in through this door. We had papers that were sitting right next to the door. The door bust open, and the papers that were on that table, whoom, went flying out. I had a lady tell me, says, those were demons. They could not stand what was going on. You know, there seemed to be a peace of God that was in here right after that, that has remained in my heart since. I don't know. Some of you might say, well, I don't feel no peace in here. I said, man, this house has got peace. Amen. Hallelujah. He's called the Holy Spirit. And he knows what he's doing. Amen. Even though I don't know what I'm doing. I told you I was speaking up front here, and I told you this. I said, hey, I never prayed to be a pastor. I know of guys that, I can't wait to be a senior pastor, you know, everything. I said, man, dude, yeah, I never prayed that. I never asked God for that. But here I am. And so I told the congregation, man, I never prayed for this. All I said, God, I want to do what you want me to do. That's all. That's it. Went home, Rosie was driving, I was half asleep in my car, on the truck on the other side, half asleep, and all of a sudden, I began to speak in tongues. Rabu san lemashati alamate. He let me, and I woke, and I looked at Rosie, and she goes, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm okay. I'm looking, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, this is what he said to me. Oh, Henry, you prayed for this, you just didn't know that you were praying for it. Can I just say this to you? You don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, but it's good for you. It really is good for you. He will strengthen you. You got to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Every child of God should have this gift. Come on, you know what? Let me just say this to you. I told you about that thing in front of Sinai that the people backed off. They said, You talk to us, Moses. Can I tell you we're doing the same thing with God today if you won't receive what it has for you? You're saying, I don't, that Holy Spirit stuff, not for me. I'll let my pastor talk to me. I'll let my brother talk to me. I'll let my, but no, not Holy Spirit. You know, can I tell you, because of Holy Spirit, we have that same thing within us. We're afraid. How many say amen to that? Can we be? Can you be fearful of what God has for you? That's what they did to God back then. Can you imagine God? He says, I'm going to come down on the mountain. I'm going to show them. I'm going to speak to you personally, Moses. I'm going to speak to you so that they can see that I am real as real can get. After they've seen all the thing in Egypt, they're going to hear me speak to you. And what do people do? Tell him we don't. Tell him to talk to you, Moses. We don't want to hear. Folks, can I say this to you? We do the same thing to him. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your life and let him have his way. Because he will do far above all that you can ask or think. Is that right? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is here to open things to you? Do you know that? Do you know that the Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, this is what it says. Splash zone. You guys didn't get splashed, did you? No, sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says that God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many know that?
Amen.
Can I tell you something? They're within you. Every one of you have everything that God has for you. It's already inside of you. It's resident in you. And he uses his Holy Spirit to break these forth on you. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, there's mysteries of the kingdom that you've never thought of. You've never even focused in on because, you know, God, you haven't given him a chance. While you're looking at the word, you won't give the Holy Spirit a chance to quicken you while you're reading his word so he can show you something new. You know what helps that? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. I know people think I'm kooky. That's okay. Because I see things that are different than what God... And God speaks to me in ways that kind of scare me. I said, people don't think like that, God. He goes, I know. I said, well, God, I can't say that. He says, oh, you will. Ooh, I will. And I think, I really believe this is why God has given the ministry of this house, has placed it into my hands, because I will say what he's showing me. Amen. I won't hesitate to speak the things that the Holy Spirit has been showing me. I won't hesitate in them. Because I do believe that God has a purpose and a plan and a direction that the church is going in. And the church has been too long just comfortable sitting back. But I will tell you something, when the Holy Spirit, when you're praying in the Spirit every day, you don't get comfortable sitting back. There's something that wells up within you that says, man, there's a driver going on within me, man. I gotta find something. I gotta do something. I gotta go to God, man, and find out what he's saying. Amen. Hallelujah. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you need it? Oh, you do. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I messed up my sermon already, God. You already messed it up. Thank you, Lord. I like it right here where it says, shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. See, God is full of promises. When I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I didn't have a son. I didn't have a daughter at that time. Probably in 1980, 81, when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, when I was out, I had animals at our house, and I was out feeding the horses and the my herd of cows, which was one cow. One cow. His name was Wooly. We called him Wooly Bully because a little bull. I was out feeding him, and I had been getting prayed for. I wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost so bad. I was like, God, you got to give it to me. You see, because I had a friend that told me, anything that you see in the Word, ask him for. Just ask him for it, because when he gives it to you, it will encourage you. You'll believe him for more. You'll believe him for more. You'll believe him for more. See, if you never ask for anything and you never see that he can give it, then you probably won't ask. But when you ask and he supplies it, and then you say, I'm going to ask again, and I'm going to ask again. And you begin to stand on what he's saying to you. And I was out feeding this my animals, and I had been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit for, I don't know, 6 or 8 months, and nothing. I had tried all the little tricks. Just open your mouth and say something. It wasn't working. I don't know what it was. I was struggling. But one morning I got up and I was so happy. Man, I said, Lord, and I was singing songs, praising God. And I went over to the barn, got some hay, and I walked over. And as I was throwing that hay over the fence, and I got no idea what that meant. One of these days I might, but I was throwing that hay over the fence. I don't know what snapped, but before it hit that pan, words came out of my mouth. Hishalaka. And I stood still. I go, huh? Praise God. So I ran in the house and I called my pastor, which was Pastor David Stone. And I go, Pastor, I think I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said some words. And he said, Henry, listen very closely to me. I said, okay. Very closely, listening to my pastor. He said, hang up the phone and get out there and keep doing whatever it was you were doing. Okay, so I did that. Can I tell you that since that day, I have not missed praying in tongues. Amen. I have prayed every day in the Spirit. I have prayed and prayed and prayed. Can I tell you, I don't know how to pray for a congregation this large, much less like you see some churches are huge. But I do know there's only one way to pray. Pray with the Spirit. Pray with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit will have his way. Amen? When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you pray according to the will of God, is what the Word of God says. You pray according to his will, not my will. It was not my will to be a pastor in this church, but it was his will. And I will do whatever my Father has for me to do. Amen? Praise God. And I will enjoy it. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll grit my teeth and enjoy it. God, I love being a pastor. But you know what I found out? I really do. I found out that the gifts that he gave you, that the things that he brings out of you are perfect. You will be so comfortable in doing what you know he's called you to do. You will be so at peace because there's not something in your heart saying, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? And this is the thing about the Holy Spirit. He will bring to you everything that he wants you to do by praying in the Spirit so that you'll know and recognize. Because I will say this, we are the body of Christ. Listen to me. Listen very carefully. We are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, we all need to know what our function is in this body. In order for this body to be the most powerful kingdom on the earth, every member must know what their purpose is in the body. Amen. Therefore, if you don't know, pray in tongues. Come on. Allow him to speak to you. If you don't pray in tongues, if you haven't, I'll say, ask him for it. It is a gift. I'm just going to move forward in these things. Peter gets up and he gives a sermon. And in verse 37 or 36, 34, no, 33, no, 32, 31, no, okay. Yeah. Oh, man, but it says, therefore, being by the right hand of God, this is verse 33. Sorry, guys, I'm going to let you know. Verse 33 said, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. You see that God gave Jesus this promise because Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? And what John the Baptist said, here's the Lamb of God. He baptizes in the Holy Ghost. So having received the promise of the Holy Ghost, this is neat to see things going on in heaven on the throne room. Isn't that cool? He says, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, and then he turns around and he shed forth this which you now see and hear. He's talking to those folks. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Can I say something to you folks? We have a job to do. Do you see, the Holy Spirit is shed on us so that we might make his foes his footstool. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15 says the last foe, the last enemy to be taken care of will be death. Is that cool? That's the last one. When you're going out and you're raising folks from the dead, right and left. Can I tell you that? Right and left. What is this? We had this group of people come over here to this accident, and everybody that was dead, whatever, they're alive, they're walking around, they're full of blood. I was listening to a brother that was from Mexico, and he was preaching at the revival that was in Florida. What was that called? Brownsville. And he was saying that a woman, they had done a little service and he had parked his truck, which was a big four-wheel drive pickup. He had parked it next to a ravine. Well, this woman had a baby, had her little child with her. And he said, I'll take you down the road. So they were all climbing in the truck. Well, they were jostling around in there, and the lady was sitting on the side of the bed. Somehow they hit her and they knocked her off, and she fell down into the ravine with her child. So she protected her child, and when she hit, she broke both bones here, compound fracture. And so when he come out of the church, they're all over there and they're talking with her and everything, and they had just prayed for her. And he goes, what's going on? And they said, she fell out of the truck. She fell out. We weren't even moving. He goes, no, she fell out. And she had her baby, and she protected the baby, and she broke her arm. And she goes, well, she don't look like her arms are broken now. No, we prayed for her. But they told him that the bones were sticking out. There was blood all on her arm. And folks, when we begin to raise folks from the dead, I believe that this is a great trigger that you will see the rapture happening right after that. Because we have made his foes his footstool. Talking about every foe, not just some of them, every foe. Amen. So that's why the Holy Ghost is so important for you to pray in the Spirit, so that you can hear the things that the Spirit is saying to the church. Because the church is the body of Christ on the earth. Yeah, we are. Amen? Amen. That's who we are. Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He says, until I make your foes your footstool, he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the people, men and brethren, what shall we do? Can I just show you this? I want you to see what the Holy Spirit does. They were, what? Pricked in their hearts. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, last week I talked about the teaching plan of the Holy Spirit. And it's in John 16. He says, he will teach you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Those are the things that the Holy Spirit teaches. We as men, we like to teach on everything but those three areas. But if you concentrate on those areas, can I tell you what's going on? What will happen? If you start looking at those three areas in your life, allowing God to talk to you about each and every area, he will begin to strengthen you and build you. Righteousness will come on you like a garment, if you will. It will come upon you. And then you'll begin to hear things that are so different. It's called judgment. It is God's judgment, how he sees things, how he speaks, how he does things, and what he's bringing into the earth. Isn't that cool? Praise God. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. This is by the Holy Ghost. There are churches out there that will not welcome the Holy Spirit. How many of you been in one? When they say, hey, man, you go into the church and we don't raise our hands here, right? Let's give a call. right? We don't want none of that mumbo jumbo talking you're doing there, bro. We don't get that here, man. Do you know what that's doing? That's rejecting the Holy Ghost. It really is. And it's not right. Because the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that God has given through His Son. The greatest gift. Hallelujah. Let me just show you a couple more scriptures. Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 39 says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There are people out there say that this gift is no longer given, that it was only for the apostles. That's not what that scripture says. That scripture says it's for anybody upon who will call upon the Lord, anyone, even as much as will call on Him. Are you calling on Him? Are you praying in tongues? Can I tell you something? Praying in the Spirit will keep you, and it will hold you. Amen. It will strengthen you. Huh. I'm going to go 1 Corinthians chapter 2 very quickly. And then we'll finish up with these. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to start at verse 5. No, start at verse 4. Paul the Apostle talking, he says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where should your faith stand? Everybody? In the power of God. And who is the power of God? It's the Holy Spirit. Where should your faith stand? Faith stand in the power of God. Do you get it? He says, how be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing, but we speak wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. How many know there's mysteries out there? Amen. Can I tell you, every one of you are a mystery. I look at you, I say, man, this is a house full of mysteries. Yeah, you don't get it, huh? Let me just say this to you. God has placed things in you that nobody else knows about. You are a mystery. You are a mystery in this world. Whew. And he says this. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love God. Amen. Do you hear that? You haven't seen, you haven't known, you haven't even thought of the things that He's prepared for you. Can I tell you? Everything He has for you is already in you. Remember I said that? He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now look at the very next verse. It says, but God has revealed them to us by what? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, God has great things for you, and they're already resident in you. If you are looking for the world to tell you who you are, forget it. It is the Holy Spirit that will reveal to you what God has purposed your life for. So pray in the Spirit. Jesus, before He left, this is what He told the disciples this. This is what He said. Receive the Spirit. He breathed on them. I got to show it to you. Because I can't, if I don't show it to you, He breathed on them. Amen? How many know the Holy Ghost is a wind? How many know if you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you're like a wind. You don't know where you're going half the time. Amen? Everybody say amen. I don't know what I'm doing most of the time. Hallelujah. This is John chapter 20. Jesus says, verse 21, He says, then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you. My Father that has sent me, and so I send you. And when He had said this, the Bible says He breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say that to you today. Today, if you will, if you can, we all just stand. If you will, let me just say this to you. One of the most greatest things about the Holy Ghost is the refreshing that he brings. How many say amen to that? God, he is a refreshing to us. Hallelujah. And in Isaiah, there's a scripture. It says, how will he teach knowledge? He says, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And then he says this, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto these people. Isn't that cool? And he says, but they were line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And he says, and they went backward and fell. What's the difference? It was the stammering lips and the other tongue. That's the difference. You want to learn about the kingdom of God? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. You want to learn about the things that God has for you? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. He will reveal those things because he builds your spirit up first, and then he reveals. And it's a very beautiful thing. Hallelujah. The Word of God says, receive the Holy Ghost. He is a refreshing. So those of you that have already received the Holy Spirit, I just want to pray for you that a refreshing will come into you, that a whole new fire come into your prayer language, something different. I believe that's what this has happened. COVID-19 is a starter, if you will, for this. Isn't that crazy? Praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Knowing the things that God has for you, because he's not done with you. Amen. Some of you might be saying to me, oh yeah, well, I'm 92 years old. Are you breathing? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah, come on. What do you think God's waiting for? Pray in the Spirit, bro. Pray in the Spirit. And you watch what God will do. Because it's his will that you pray in the Spirit. Amen. So let's pray. I'm going to say this to those of you that have never been filled with the Spirit. I would just ask him. Just say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And you watch. When your heart goes after to be filled with the Spirit, you watch what he does. Because the gifts that he has for you are within you, and the Spirit reveals them. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for Pentecost. Thank you, Lord, for the time that you sent your Spirit to be with us, Father. Father, we thank you for the wonderful, wonderful gift. So, Father, those that know this gift, Father, I pray that a mighty refreshing come to their spirit, and that as they speak, it will be with a new fire, a new flame, God. Hallelujah. Let the mountains shake and the clouds be removed away, Father God, that this speaking, come forth. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Father, for those that have never and are a little bit timid and a little bit fearful, a little bit, I'm not sure about this, Father, quicken them, Father. Speak to their hearts. Comfort them, Father. I thank you for it. I praise you for it, Father. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. God bless you guys real good. Hallelujah. If you want to stay and pray, pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.